everyone. Welcome back. A new season with Bitch Breathe. I am your host, Ricardia. So we're in season number 3 and episode 53. How better to celebrate this momentous occasion by having some of my favorite soul sisters and wise women join me in this all new episode where we talk about that scary little thing called menopause. So if menopause is something that freaks you out or you just don't want to know a whole lot about it until that time comes, we totally get you. And maybe you don't want to listen to it, but I do recommend you do because we have a whole lot of fun talking about this subject that, quite frankly, not a lot is being said about in terms of public scenes or maybe some books, but certainly not enough for us to know about it. So today I'm joined by Sophia and Karina to have a conversation, and I look forward to sharing it with you. Let's jump right in and enjoy. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to a new episode of Bitch Breathe. I am very, very excited and a little bit giddy because for once I'm not by myself. I am joined by my two favorite soul sisters who I don't know if we're going to be doing a lot of crying or laughing in this episode, but one of those two things is probably going to happen. I'm going to let them introduce themselves. So go ahead.
Oh my God, Ricardia, this is big.
Yeah,
it is. Thank you for having us. My name is Karina. I was born in a small village up north in Sweden, a place I left really early when I was maybe 20s, and I left to live abroad and for many, many years in South America and such. And I have two kids. I have an old life living together with a man. I am now married to Sophia, which I love dearly. We have a wonderful life together, and we have an age difference. I don't know if that is at all of interest to anybody to know. I felt that I wanted to say that. I am 16 years older than you, and sometimes that's a good thing, and sometimes it's a pain in the neck. So, yeah, I leave it to you, Sophia.
Okay. Yes, I'm Sophia. I am the one that's 16 years younger. I am 46, so now they know your age. I am a creative director. I was born in India, but I'm a Swedish citizen, and I have also lived in Berlin for a while. So, I'm a dog lover.
You are.
Yes.
For sure.
And golf lover and Virgo.
Oh, that's right. We'll probably get to zodiac signs later. We have two Virgos in the room. We'll leave it up to everybody to decide who's who. Anyway, so I am here with Sophia and Karina today because we are going to talk about a subject that for some reason came up multiple times, I think, right, in our conversations. Mm-hmm. And it's something I know nothing or very little about. I didn't do what I normally like to do, which is homework. I didn't do research. So we are going to talk about, here we go, menopause today.
Fun subject.
It is, isn't it?
These women have taught me so much, not just about menopause, by the way, but that's our subject today. But I do want to take a moment to thank them both for being here. They are some of the most incredible souls I've ever had the privilege of knowing and to call my friend. And I'm just really happy you're both here.
That is so sweet of you.
Thank you. All right, so I'll jump right in and feel free to answer whoever feels called to answer that particular question. So one of the things, as you know, when I sometimes tell you, oh, I'm having this medical thing or that going on, and Sophia jumps at me and says, it's perimenopause, you're getting menopause. And I was like, get away from me, I don't want to hear about it. So I have some expectations that seem to resemble dread. And I just want to know, did you have expectations what this time in your life would be like?
No, I didn't at all, since I'm so much younger. And Karina got into menopause actually the second or third month we got
after
to know each
met,
other.
I yeah. know. It's
got
like
your
a punishment.
First hot flash in
in Berlin,
in Soho House.
Well, at least you hot flashed inside.
Exactly.
Exactly. I sure did. I thought I was going to die.
And you, I never thought of it, obviously, because I was so much younger. And you
Even that is strange, you know. How come our mothers never spoke to us about this?
I think my
thing?
Mother did, but
she
did you take it in when you're young.
I mean, it doesn't pertain to you.
No, you can see your daughter. She's like, yeah, whatever.
I know.
But they say that if the mother has a hard menopause, a tough menopause, the daughter will also have.
So exactly. There's like a genetic component to how you process.
Yeah, and me, of course, I don't know because I'm, you know, my biological mother is not here.
Mm. So the expectation was one of actually being rather neutral towards this time. Like whatever information came, you didn't hear, or?
I was actually thinking it's not going to happen to me.
Yeah, that was funny.
I was
isn't that funny?
No, it's not going to happen. It's like when you're young, you know, you keep thinking your body will always remain the same and you will always be strong and beautiful and all that shit. And you will definitely not go through menopause. So I was shocked. I think I was actually shocked.
Yeah.
And I have had all the symptoms you can ever come up with. I've had them.
You know,
there are actually 700 of them. Can you believe that shit?
There are 751, everyone.
Symptoms. So.
And I think I had 700 of them. No, but to be honest, I think that I have 50 of them.
At least.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, me too. And tough ones. Maybe you wanted to talk a bit about how come you're in menopause?
Yeah, but that's what I'm going to say. That's
right. You have two different journeys, the two of you. Yeah,
you spooked me a lot because you said that, oh, it's so horrible, and you were complaining, and I thought, whatever. I'm going to take that pain a little bit later in my life.
Right.
So I was, to be honest, a little bit... how do you say, nonchalant about...
Yeah, thinking I was crazy,
but I think about, how bad can it be? Come on, you know.
Mm.
But then all of a sudden, I had to make a surgery that I had to take away the uterus, including the...
ovaries.
Yes. Mm. So, bam, I was in menopause from one day to another. And that was very, very tough.
It was hard.
Mm-hmm. Very tough. Because you had the transfer, you know. Normally, women have the transfer.
Like a transition, you mean?
Yeah, exactly. And they
the pre-menopause, whatever it's called.
Yeah, slowly. But I just, you know, went from one day having all the hormones you were supposed to have, and the next day, no one.
That's actually really interesting. You're both coming at this from a very different history.
Exactly.
I mean, apart from all the personal history, of course.
Yeah.
But Sophia, actually, if you want to hear a little bit more about what was that like to not have this preparation time. And so what indeed were, I was going to get to it later, but I feel like it fits now.
Mm-hmm.
What were some of the symptoms where you're like, Jesus, I didn't see this coming at all, but this is definitely a menopausal symptom. And that was maybe a little more difficult for you.
Yeah, I mean, my doctor, she said that, you know, you have to prepare yourself because you are going to get all the, you know, the hot flashes and so on. And I said, are you sure? She said, yeah, I'm sure. And I was like, okay. And I thought, you know, a little bit in the back of my head that maybe I'm the medical wonder that
it's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen to me.
Isn't that interesting? You both thought it wasn't going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm. You do too, I think.
You
have had the symptoms for many years, honey. But I think that my symptoms didn't come gradually like yours, but... the first symptom I had that I was in menopause was the hot flashes. And they were crazy.
And remember, you used to have a fan on you all the time.
Yeah. I had my heart was racing.
Mm.
Yeah,
typical. So, that was the two first symptoms I had, one day after.
Mm.
Yeah, the worst I remember was when I realized that I woke up every morning feeling I was going to die.
In what way? Like you felt physiologically this
thing
ends
now? I woke up with my brain that was racing and I was like, okay, where's the emergency? Who's dying? Am I dying? What can I do? There's nothing in my life is going to be okay. And I had all this problem. Mm. I didn't actually have the problem. My mind was fucking me with me in a way. And so it took me a long time to figure out what to do. And the only thing you can do when you're in that state of mind is to just get up.
Right.
And that was really strange because we had really just met. Mm-hmm. And I was like racing from bed in the morning. Mm-hmm. Whoops, I got to get up. Very hard. And then it took like a couple of hours before I was myself again, kind of.
Every morning.
Every morning. And I still have a slightly catastrophe and, you know, nothing is ever going to be good again. And and then there was the hot flashes. I had like five of them per hour. I don't know how I found time to do anything else but sweat.
You couldn't take the hormone replacement either.
Well, that was my situation because I had breast cancer in, when was this? 2008. Mm-hmm. And then you have no choice. There is no cure. And I went to all these medics, you know, asking them, but you know, if I do this or that, no, just live with it. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye. Mm-hmm. None of them were interested in helping, you know.
Does that pertain to like Western medicine and holistic medicine? Like just everyone was like, on with it?
You tried everything.
I think I tried everything.
My doctor said that...
some of them just laughed at me.
Yeah, but yeah.
Like, you know.
And your expectations were too high to be able to fix this.
Women.
Mm. Mm. Even a lot of them were women.
Nobody in the, you know, the healthcare... They don't know anything about this. They don't talk about it. There is no cure. There is.
It's the whole problem of not enough women in research.
Yeah, exactly.
And women just weren't interesting for medical purposes. No,
exactly. Yeah. But my doctor, she said that I asked, you know, can I do without? And because I didn't want to take the hormone replacement first, because you heard so much about it. But she said, but there is nothing else that's going to help. And I said, but can't I do anything else? And she just sent me. She was very, how do you say?
Harsh.
Cuss. Mm. And like, no, there is nothing. And I said, are you sure? Yes, I'm sure. There's nothing else. So I started. And then I kind of fooled myself a little bit I'm just going to take them for 3 months. And then maybe I built up a little bit of a what do you call it? Like
a storage.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I'm going to stop. And I stopped. And I can set the clock when I do that because it takes 2 weeks and it's back again. So, and I've done this.
What's it?
The hot flashes, and the problem with the hot flashes is it's not during the day because during the day, the hot flashes... They are okay. I mean, for me, it's you can't sleep. That's the problem.
Because you're schwitzing all the time.
Yeah.
Basically.
You should see us when we were in bed. Sometimes.
It's kind of funny, actually.
Yeah, but, and it also has, which is interesting, it also, when you get aroused, when you're about to have sex.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
somehow the body.
It triggers the hot flashes. It's horrible.
So you have to stop.
And then you have to stop.
What?
Yeah, because
you just can't take the heat anymore.
You know, if you've been in a really hot climate when it's like 45 degrees or something,
just like, get that sticky thing off me.
Yes, you can't breathe. Everything is like boiling inside of your head, and then it's not really the time to think about sex. No, so then you have to stop, and then you have to wait, and then
start
again.
You'd want to be a good level of horny to do this.
Yes. Exactly.
So speaking of that, what about that?
I don't know. I don't know if it changed that much for me. I guess it has, but I don't suffer the way you did. You thought it was awful.
Yes, I thought it was awful. It was awful for me. Because I didn't take anything to sort of...
ameliorate the effects.
Exactly. So I was just forced to be in it, all the symptoms that were there. And it takes you a while to sort of figure out, this thing that has happened to me, it's another symptom or it's connected to this.
How did you figure that out? Did you read about it?
Oh, I read tons about it. Oh, my God. First you start thinking, there must be something I can do, you know.
You can get the Nobel Prize.
I could, I read so much about it. I'm fed up with it. And now... gratefully, I am on my way out of it, so I don't have a lot of hot flashes anymore. But I can honestly say that I have changed as a person. I am not the same person I was when I before the menopause.
So that's what was going to be one of my questions. Is there such a thing as returning to who we were before?
No,
I do not think so. I'm sorry to say, but I'm thinking maybe we will, all our women, we will become something else, something better, something that is more sort of, I mean, once you can cut yourself loose from that sexual energy, because this is very much so about your sexual energy. Mm-hmm. Your sexual energy goes down. It goes really down. And you have to start work for it. Because, I mean, you can't just stop having sex, because mm-hmm. sex is something good. But it's that...
I thought you were crying.
No, I'm just...
it's like,
I feel like I might.
Yeah, I mean, it's
you
a good
regret
reason.
This podcast now.
I'm thinking, is it maybe meant to be like that? We're not supposed to talk about it to our daughters because it's really depressing. I have been really depressed about the fact that my libido is going down. How do you handle that? I mean, I love Sophia more than everything. Mm-hmm. And I want my libido to be there with me. And it is still, but in a very different way. You have to sort of have sex in a different way. Mm-hmm. You have to work a bit for it.
Mm.
It's almost like there has and to be a sort of coaxing it out of you.
Mm. Like, exactly. It's not there knocking on the door as it used to be, which is... could be good, you know. I'm thinking, how the hell does all these heterosexual girls do it with a man? Because you're drying up your eyes, my mouth, my vagina, everything. It is depressing.
You're drying up.
I mean, that's what's happening.
But that's exactly why that's a medical, talks about it.
Exactly,
like,
because there's a lot of shame in it. We feel there's a little portion of shame in this. Mm. It's like we're not women anymore, or we're... not what we used to be, or we don't have that power of attraction anymore, or what is it?
But do you really feel like that? That we're not women anymore? Okay, maybe it's different. You both had children, so maybe that's very connected, you know, the reproduction system of being a woman.
But since I, fertility.
Yeah,
identity.
Exactly. But, but, you know, since I don't have any kids, and I never really planned to have kids, I don't feel that way. And even though I'm, you know, I have no uterus anymore, I don't feel less of a woman. I know my mother, she did this surgery too.
The hysterectomy?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. With or without the ovaries?
Everything. Okay. Because, she had cancer.
Mm.
So... what was I supposed to say?
No,
that it's different for us, you were saying, that we had children you didn't identify, obviously, as strongly with the organs that were taken out, or the energy around them, I guess.
Yeah, no, not at all. But I had so much problem with my uterus, causing me so much pain.
Because you had endo, right? Endometriosis.
Oh,
yes.
God, you did.
Yes,
and
a big...
I think it's myome.
So that was, I mean, it's been causing me so much pain throughout my life, and so much actually that was a bit shameful for me, because I couldn't join in, you know, when people were going to a picnic, or, you know, going on a boat ride or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And people always thought that I was exaggerating, you know.
Because you were in
such pain.
Yeah,
nobody really
pain.
Believed me. I had some close friends that went like, so what, just take a...
But isn't that how women are, like, we're all about sort of... Mm. I mean, think about it. When did we ever acknowledge that... Well, if we count like not menopause, but like PMS. Mm-hmm. So there goes one week. Then one week you're bleeding.
Exactly.
And then you're ovulating for a few days and you're like, yes, that's right, people. I own this world. And we often think that that's normal to just continue our lives on all of those days as if nothing were going on.
Yeah, but you know, I accepted the pain. 7 days, I think, a month that I was kind of normal, kind of.
Say that to a man.
Yeah, exactly.
How many days do you have per month?
Zero. Because
I know sometimes I do have these fantasies where, like, if I'm going to be born again, I think I might want to come back male.
Yeah, why not?
No, I don't want to.
You don't
to be honest.
I don't really want to.
To be honest,
but
I don't
want to.
But what
makes us say we don't want to? It's so interesting.
That
we're,
is interesting.
We're saying all these things.
Yes.
Which are probably going to scare all of them.
I was just going to say this, that about pains.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I was relieved when they took it away.
Yeah,
I was
that's
really
a different
relieved. Yeah, I was really relieved. But if I knew that this menopause thing would happen so soon, so intense, because you put your body in a kind of a state of a shock mm-hmm. when you do it like that, because I had some anxiety attacks and so on, and I could of course be without that. Mm. And to be honest, I don't know if I had to choose between the anxiety and the pain.
Which is worst?
I don't know.
That seems like a tough choice.
That is
it's
a tough choice.
Tough question. Mm. I don't know. No, but that was, you know, in Sweden we have an expression saying, you know, it's either...
You're caught between a rock and a hard place.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Mm.
But so in terms of when you say you're not returning back to normal, and clearly you're finding some very definitive and maybe even slightly intimidating words around what you went through and what you might be still going through. So if we're not going back to normal, where are we going?
Whatever normal was.
Right.
I think we're going to a better place.
Sounded like Prince Charles.
What?
Whatever love is, he said, with Diana.
Whatever that place is.
Yes.
Yeah, well, I'm hoping it's a good place mm-hmm. to be. Maybe it is the place where we finally have time to not deal so much with our bodies, mm-hmm. you know. Maybe it's the time where we have not 7 days a month, but actually 30 days a month mm-hmm. where we can be ourselves.
I mean, the interesting thing is, right, you've just walked us through like a whole bunch of things where it's like, oh my God, that sounds really, mm-hmm. really tough. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you're some of the most optimistic and productive. And also in terms of married couples, you're my like go-to married couple in terms of happiness. Oh. So clearly you are managing to come out on another side of this. And I guess I'm wondering what that is.
But I also think that, you know, we are, I mean, since we're two women, there is more, we can share and we can also have more understanding, you know. We have something that we call the complaining, what do you call it?
Your 2 minutes where you're allowed to come.
What's that wall in Jerusalem?
The wailing wall?
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, we do the wailing wall.
Yeah. I think it's the wailing wall.
We do the wailing wall. And it goes like this. I say to Karina,
when I feel totally down, when I don't know what to do, when I feel like shit.
Yeah, and I say to you, okay, tell me what's bothering you. It can be shallow. It also can be very deep. It could be, you know, I broke my nail yesterday and I just had them done. It could be anything. And about 2 minutes, and you're not allowed to say anything. You just have to listen.
I love that. Mm. Oh. That sounds really healing.
Yes, it is, because sometimes you just need to say it.
Mm-hmm. You need to hear yourself say it.
Yeah, and then it goes away.
It's true.
Yeah. Funny. So it's very good. We do that. We do that quite often.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah. And then you realize.
The sharing and the conversation about it.
The conversation is so important.
Because I know we've often talked about it, and when we talk about it, I know that the sharing bit is a huge help to sort of come out of this.
Yeah, the pain goes away a bit when you hear yourself talking about, because most of the stuffs you're worried about, or I am worried
Except
about, are often like
thing.
Tiny things.
Because I am so afraid of getting old and death and everything. And you know, it's no use being that if you're married to somebody who's 16 years older than you are, because you go, you're young. But it's it's so real for me. Mm-hmm. And I don't get any
response
whatsoever. And we have a lot of our friends, they are older than, me.
Older than you.
Me. so nobody listens to me. You did. Mm-hmm. And we had a nervous breakdown. Both of us.
We had that right before the pandemic. Mm. Wasn't that February?
That was the strangest conversation I've ever had.
That's right. We allowed each other to talk about just how scared we are of our own mortality.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I remember we both were careful about it at first. You're like, yes, sometimes I got these fantasies. Yeah. It was almost like this dirty little song.
Yes, yes.
And we already know everything about each other in terms of this other part of our lives. But this was like, so do you also think about death sometimes?
Yeah.
As if it were this sex secret.
Yeah.
I was like, yes, all the time. I remember saying, and then I cry, and then already Sophia's like halfway there, she's crying, and then you say something about how you've been thinking about it lately. But then there was a catharsis,
yes,
right?
Yes, this we're gonna say.
It lifted,
yes. And we cried and laughed, mm-hmm, at the same time. Mm-hmm. That was actually not like crying, oh, I'm so happy crying. I cried because I was so scared.
It was a release.
Yes, a release. Oh. And I also laughed because it was so,
hilarious.
I don't know, yeah, insane somehow. Mm. If somebody would have filmed us, I don't know, I mean, we looked...
Or did a podcast?
Well, I think that's crazy. For me. I don't remember who said this. I forget whose quote this is, but I think probably she said, "As soon as a couple of women are in one room, the healing begins." Mm-hmm. There's just something about being in communion with all of this,
yeah,
because I don't think it's even fair to expect the other half of the species to even remotely understand what's going on here, whether it's PMS or endo or the menopause. But that's my feeling, is that sharing and talking and relieves you, and you don't think you're going crazy.
I think that's the answer to why I don't want to be a man, because I've been together with a lot of women, and I'm not going to say a lot of women, it sounds like...
How many
Sorry, no,
that's
it didn't sound right, but I didn't mean it in a sexual way. I meant...
You've spent time with a lot of women.
I spent time with a lot of women, and I felt that connection, and when you do, it's
a powerful thing.
It's a very powerful
and
thing.
And it's an important thing, I think.
I mean, even for me, with the... I'm not there yet, but I think the other day I told you something that was going on with me, and you were like, yeah, that's also menopause. What was it? The eyes, something, the dryness of the eyes.
The dryness of the eyes, but I think, yes.
Okay, can we say this on air?
Depends what it is.
I would say...
We're signaling to each other, don't mention that.
No. But I think you are there. Mm-hmm. I don't think you are getting there. I think you
it's
are there.
It's the pre-menopause.
As if the menopause wasn't enough. Years and years, yes. And that it usually can start right around 40. Because my thinking was somewhere around 50, someone looking like the Grim Reaper is going to be hitting that bell, be like, welcome.
But no, it's a slow process.
It creeps up on you.
Yeah, thanks. Okay.
And it often
note
starts...
Note to listeners, she's looking at me with a very threatening expression in her face. No, but what would you say maybe to your younger self, knowing what you know now? Is there something of a consoling or just supportive sentiment, even advice?
I
sorry, about menopause, you know?
Yeah.
I would like to say to myself that look forward to this period in your life, because it will make you stronger. Oh, yes, this is what it is. Mm-hmm. I know this is what it is. We will become so much stronger after the menopause. We will turn into another version of us women, where we are free to do whatever we want to do.
I think this is the stage that people refer to as the wise woman stage. Mm. You know, in the cycle, there's the nymph, she's the young woman,
exactly.
And there's the mother, not necessarily of children, but just a mother phase, bringing projects forth, for example, also. Then there comes the wise woman.
Yeah, makes sense.
I'm kind of hoping she's greeting me on the other side of this menopause.
Yeah, exactly.
Waving.
You need to know there's something waiting on the other side, because if not, you'll go crazy.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That
doesn't sound scary at all.
But we women don't talk about it in that way. We talk about it, well, if we ever talk about it.
If.
We talk about it as if it's only bad.
Mm. Yeah, but
if it's the end and not the beginning of something, because it is the beginning of a new type of me or life or approach to life or different thoughts or more space to do other things. And hey, I've got 30 days. It's not 7 days now. Mm. It's 30 days.
That's a lot.
I mean, think about it. How
per month, you mean?
30 days.
Where you don't feel controlled by some hormonal thing going on.
Exactly.
Mm. Yeah.
What about you, Sophia?
No, I don't want to agree with you.
Okay.
Because
fair enough.
Yeah. I think that the less you know, the better.
I'm the same way as you.
Because, you know, I'm a hypochondriac also. So I'm so happy that nobody told me about this when I was younger, because then I would have gone, you know, be waiting for it. But, you see, I got even more scared.
So I guess it depends on the personality too. Like I'm the kind, when the dentist walks me through what she's about to do, I'm always like, let me stop you right here, I don't want to know. Just get this over with and knock me out thoroughly before it starts.
Now, the dentist I would like to know. I would like
to
know.
So funny.
Yeah, I know.
Like a dentist of all people, do not tell me.
No, I would like to have a mirror. But I didn't want to when it was the surgery. I just said...
I'm a little bit relieved that you say that.
Yeah, well, she said to
me... Give me that scalpel, I'll do it myself.
My doctor said that, you know, she said... I said, don't tell me anything about the surgery. And she said, well, I do have to, you know, because...
She's legally obliged.
Yeah, exactly. And I was like...
I'm going to cut you open.
No, yeah, yeah, but they have.
No, I believe you. I'm I think let's not go through it.
No, but that's what I mean. It's I don't like it.
No, I totally am with you on that one. But what I'm summarizing from what you're saying is that it really depends on who you were before this thing started, in what way you would like to know about it, or if you would like to know about it at all. That's what I'm getting. Like you, it feels like maybe you would have not liked to have known some stuff. Would you?
I think... It's not a question about would I have liked to know. I think it's more a question about would I have liked to know what was waiting for me on the other side.
Mm.
The big change it is. The greatness of this phase in our life.
Mm-hmm.
That I would have liked to know.
So, we went on really long. So there's a lot of things we could talk about. I think maybe we should consider a second episode, because I would like to talk more about the social aspects of it, like what is it like to still be in a working environment when this is going on, like you're still having to perform the way other people or other male people do, but they're not going through all this, and I think that's interesting. And then also what you mentioned, Karina, about shame, I feel like we could have said a whole lot more about that, but we'll do that next time. So for my listeners, I hope this wasn't too depressing overall for you. I can assure you, you hear it, the girls. I always call them girls, by the way, but...
thank you. Yes, I appreciate that.
See, we're now at this age where we're like, yeah, you can call us girls. It makes us feel young. but we realize the feminist issue around it. But anyway, I can assure you that these girls are living a really, for me, an exemplary life in terms of pursuing your luck and hunting it down without... without C's. So thank you for being here, both of you. This has been a long-held dream of mine to get you in front of my microphone.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for your sweet words, honey. We love you.
Thank you. I love
you
too.
We really do.
Thank you all for listening. If you want to write to me, I'm always happy to hear from you. The email is bitchbreathe@gmail.com. And the I in bitch is a number one, but you'll also see it linked to in the show notes. So thanks everybody for listening and sending love. Till next time.
Bye.
Bye.